Thank you. Hi. My name is Pam Quillen, and this is the story of my healing journey. I grew up in a big family, the third of seven kids. When I was pretty young, about seven, I realized that my parents were not Ozzie and Harriet. They were unhappy, angry, and abusive. I didn't know the word dysfunctional then, but I did know that it was not a pleasant way to live. I remember well that I had a chat with God about it. I said, "Okay, God, I know that everyone will have some hardship in their lives, and I guess this is mine, so I'll deal with it. Please just remember that I've had my share as a kid, so the rest of my life should be pretty good." That thought sustained me as my parents' alcoholism, gambling, and other problems destroyed them. At 30, I married a kind and loving guy, Rob, out there somewhere, and we decided to start our family, but we couldn't get pregnant, in spite of going through 5 years of all kinds of invasive, unpleasant, and downright embarrassing fertility procedures, drugs, and surgeries. I said, "Hey, God, what's the deal? Did you forget I'm the one who had the terrible parents? What's going on?" And then we found a counseling-based adoption group, and we were blessed to be present at the birth of our daughter, Caitlin Susanna, in May of 1989. Being a mom was the most wonderful experience for me. I loved every single minute of it, even the stinky and sleepy ones. And Rob and I were eager to do it again. Then in the summer of 93, we went to a neighbor's anniversary party. I sang a silly song I'd made up to celebrate, went home to bed, and woke up in a new world. There were firemen surrounding my bed, asking me my name, what year it was, and who was president. I thought they were cute, but odd. I'd had a grand mal seizure in the middle of the night, and my life was forever changed. A couple weeks and my first MRI later, we learned that inside my skull was a golf ball-sized brain tumor. I figured God had forgotten all about the other stuff I'd been through. I told Rob that I'd hate to leave him, but that we'd already had a great life together, and I knew he'd be okay. What I couldn't bear was the thought of not being there to help him raise Caitlin. She was barely 4 years old. I was determined to survive. During the surgery that followed, the brain surgeon determined that the tumor, an oligodendroglioma, who's going to spell that one, couldn't be removed after all because it was not encapsulated as they'd originally thought, and it was too close to the speech and motor control areas of my brain. Back then, there was no chemo that could cross the blood-brain barrier and no treatment option other than 6 weeks of full-brain radiation. So I said, "Let's go for it." My radiation oncologist was a great guy, but he had no belief in any kind of alternative treatment or complementary medicine, which were way outside of conventional medicine at that time. So he began 6 weeks of daily radiation to my head and said my prognosis was 5 or maybe even 10 years. I wanted more. I'd heard about Norman Cousins, a well-known writer, who believed that he'd recovered from a potentially fatal illness by continuous exposure to humor and laughter. The Three Stooges, Candid Camera, and Lucille Ball were his drugs of choice. I'd always been a cockeyed optimist, so I read his book, Anatomy of an Illness, and all the books of Bernie Siegel, an East Coast doc who was an early and strong proponent of the mind-body connection. His book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, became my touchstone. I found a radiation meditation tape. That's a cassette tape. Some of you may have to ask what that is. And I listened and breathed to it every day. This may go better. As I began the daily radiation treatments, I was tense, anxious, even terrified. But I decided not to just lay there with my head fastened to the table, alone and in fear. I could hear the sound of dripping water in the room where I lay. I decided that it came from a tiny stream somewhere in the mountains. I pictured the beautiful setting in my mind's eye, and I visualized it as I received the treatments day after day. It was getting near Christmas, and I even thought of a phrase from a verse of Silent Night. Radiant beams from heaven afar. I decided that my radiant beams were good and healing, and I relaxed to receive them, resting on my creek bank. Unknowingly, I'd created my own form of guided imagery, and I realize now that we all have it in us to create our own healing experience. Humor has always been a powerful way of coping for me, and that stayed true throughout the past 15 years. After the first brain surgery in 93, the surgeon came quickly to the recovery room, anxious to see if my ability to speak was intact. He kept talking to rouse me from the effects of anesthesia. As I opened my eyes, he said, "Okay, Pam, wake up now. You're looking good." My family tells me I replied to the eminent brain surgeon, "You're looking pretty darn good yourself." During this time, our daughter Caitlin was curious about all the fuss, and we explained things to her in ways she couldn't comprehend. A typical preschooler, she wanted to impress her classmates at school at show and tell. So when I was released from the hospital after craniotomy number one, she took me as her show and tell item, complete with some 40 staples in my partially shaved head. I can still hear her sweet little voice, bossy little voice, saying to the other kids,
"Okay, everybody get in line, one at a time, don't touch."
Six weeks of daily radiation to the head made my hair fall out from ear to ear. I still had bangs, which gave me a look that has since become the height of style. Not so then. My doc assured me that it would all grow back. Well, only half of it did. He assured me that the rest would too. Months went by, still half bald. So for my next appointment, I had a friend pen some elegant calligraphy on my bald skull. "Hairdo by Dr. Dave," it read. Well, Dr. Dave liked it so much, he took a picture. He said he'd post it on his desk to keep him humble. I think a humble doc is a good thing. Yeah, I got some more mileage from that curving stapled scar on Halloween. I used it to scare away the oversized teenagers who dared to come trick-or-treating without a costume. For years growing up, this is when I wasn't telling God what to do, I used to console myself that while my parents hadn't left me any inheritance or material legacy, at least I'd inherited good health and good hair, right? I've come to accept my permanent big bald spot, and I can do as good a comb-over as any guy, and much better than Donald Trump. On windy days, I just consider it my bald badge of courage. Several months passed as I waited for my first post-radiation MRI. I learned about the very first ever Healing Journeys conference in Monterey. It sounded like a great opportunity, but I was still sort of fragile and anxious about going. I was even scared to expose myself, and I didn't feel that I was strong enough to get there by myself. Then two of my sisters, one from San Diego, one from Santa Cruz, literally came to take me there by the hand. It was an amazing experience, and I discovered that there is this incredible, beautiful network of people who were both survivors and healers. The very next weekend, I met with my radiation oncologist for those MRI results. He looked a bit incredulous when we walked in and said, "We've hit a home run. There's no visible residual tumor." He thought his spot-on radiation was the reason. I thought it was actually the enormous blanket of love, prayers, meditation in which I'd been covered. Now, almost 15 years later, I'm pretty sure we were both right. I went on being a mom, helping at school, going on every field trip, and working part-time. MRIs were at longer and longer intervals. Then in 05, I had some tumor regrowth and craniotomy number 2, followed by another seizure, more regrowth, and craniotomy number 3. That was followed by a year of chemotherapy, a drug that wasn't available back in 93. Recovering from the chemo and that third surgery was tough, much tougher than anything before. Late after effects of the radiation may have factored in as well. I was often disoriented. My balance was awful. My gait was labored and very slow. I had to hold on to someone or something most of the time. Radiation may well... My gait was labored and very slow. I had to hold on to someone or something most of the time. Of course, I couldn't drive. My speech was also labored and slow. Words were very hard to find, and I stuttered, especially when I was tired, which was most of the time. I slept like a teenager, at least 10 to 12 hours a day, and I was depressed. I was also often grouchy, easily frustrated, and not always rational. My usual cheerful self was not often apparent. It was a tough time. Just ask Rob and Caitlin. Some very close friends who'd stuck by me through the surgeries got tired of my erratic behavior and gave up on me. That's still smarts. Happily, Rob hung in there. Bless his little heart. I realize now that my behavior was not unlike that of many veterans and others who have suffered a traumatic brain injury. Knowing that's been very reassuring. I just wish someone had prepared me for it. Things have slowly improved. I retook and passed my driving test, and I realized I was doing better when I was able to put on my undies standing up without sitting on the bed or leaning on the wall. Now that's progress. After a couple clean MRIs, I just found out that something may be going on again in my noggin. We'll see what's up next week and deal with it. My daughter has just turned 19 and moved out. Yay. Now my goal is to dance at her wedding and snuggle a grandbaby or two, preferably in that order. And I'm thinking about what my next move will be. I do have some deficits. I'm not very tolerant of people who complain about having a bad hair day. And I've been known to bark at anyone, friend or stranger, who whines about growing older. I plan to be the world's oldest brain cancer survivor. Early on in my journey, thank you. Okay, where's my place now? Okay. Early on in my journey, I complained to my youngest sister that I felt marked, as if I had brain tumor tattooed on my forehead. She replied, "Pam, we're all marked. You just know what yours is." Smart cookie. My life is way different than it was at that neighborhood anniversary party, and I still mourn the life I had dreamed of and the professional life I never achieved. And I miss the money I never made. But all things considered, life is good. I don't worry about multitasking. It's all I can do to unitask. The internet has been a godsend and truly life-changing, connecting people dealing with common issues all over the world. But I think it can also swamp us with information overload. Here's some advice I recently gave to new members of an online group of fellow brain tumor survivors who are agonizing over just which treatment to pursue. First of all, whatever you decide to do is exactly right. And go for it. find a doc, excuse me, is exactly right. Find doctors you love and then trust them and yourself. Embrace what feels right and go for it. I also highly recommend that everyone choose a personal theme song and then sing or hum it incessantly. For me, it's Don't Worry, Be Happy. And be sure to find something to laugh about every single day and live your life the best you can. Keep in mind that we're all terminal. Those of us in this room just understand that better than many of those outside. Something I want to leave you with, a realization I had, that we need to remember ourselves and then teach every doctor in the world. There's no such thing as false hope. There's just hope. And people are not yogurt. We do not come with expiration dates. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.